Have you ever wondered what it's like in heaven? You know, people ask questions about heaven all the time. Why know my loved ones when I get there? Will my dog go to heaven? Why can't my relatives who are in heaven communicate with me? If you ask a child where heaven is, well, she'll probably tell you, well, that's where God lives. And most people assume that according to the Bible, when you die, your immortal soul goes to heaven. You know, that's not what the Bible says. Now listen to this. Jesus said, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven." So what is God's plan for you after you die? Did you know that the biblical book of Revelation says that heaven is coming to earth? You heard me correctly. Heaven is coming to earth. So what exactly do I mean, heaven on earth? Stay tuned for the answer.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Most likely, you've been taught all your life that when you die, you go directly to heaven. So what is it like to go to heaven? Well, I suppose one of the first things you would expect to find in heaven are all the great men and women of the Bible, you know, like Abraham, the father of the faithful, or Moses, or John the Baptist, or Mary, the mother of Jesus. But the most astounding statement made about heaven by Jesus himself is recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, listen to this, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man." Jesus claimed that he's the only one who has ascended into heaven. The only one. If Jesus is the only one to go to heaven, well, what happened to all the great men and women of faith throughout history? When they died, where did they go? It's interesting that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." Listen carefully to what Jesus said. He said, "I will come back." He then said that his disciples, well, they'll be with him. You know, Jesus was about to die, and after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he returned to heaven where he came from. He had told his disciples that he would come back. Now, come back to where? Well, obviously come back to earth, and that they would be with him. Over and over again, Jesus told his followers that he would resurrect them from the grave, and he clearly told them when they would be resurrected. Look at this passage. "For I have come down from heaven," Jesus said he came from heaven, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, and should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." And then he says, "And I will raise him up at the last day." Now, what does Jesus mean when he says that he will raise someone up at the last day? You know, the resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God is absolutely essential to the Christian faith. In fact, there is no Christian religion without the belief that Jesus rose from the grave, was seen by his disciples, and ascended back to heaven to the throne of God. In fact, the scriptures demand that Christians accept that Jesus Christ died, experienced a bodily resurrection after 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ promises to return to this earth for his disciples, both living and dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of God's promise to resurrect his followers from the dead. This resurrection of God's followers occurs during the last days, what Jesus said, when Christ returns to the earth to establish God's kingdom over all of humanity. You know, this resurrection isn't a theory of some ethereal, nebulous existence as a disembodied spirit, but the promise of a bodily resurrection to a life of eternal energy and eternal creativity and eternal goodness as the children of God. This resurrection takes place when Christ returns to establish his Father's kingdom here on earth. The Christian future is more spectacular than the view of heaven as a place of eternal repose without meaning or personal purpose. Now, the heaven that we're talking about here is what the Bible calls the third heaven. Now, I know you're saying, well, what does he mean by the third heaven? Now, if you take a little time to look at Bible passages concerning heaven, some passages are actually plural. And if you read them, it'll say heavens. That's because in the Bible, heaven can refer to a number of different places. In Scripture, heaven can refer to earth's atmosphere, where we see the birds of heaven, or where the windows of heaven open to bring rain. It can also refer to what we call the outer space. You know, that's the realm of the moon, the planets, the galaxies, the physical universe. It's this third reference that we find so interesting. A third reference to heaven as the throne of God. The Apostle Paul wrote about a vision of paradise, which he calls the third heaven. Now, this third heaven is a reference to the incredible realm where God exists in all of his majesty and power. And this is where most Christians say and believe that they go immediately after they die. But remember what Jesus said. He said that no one has ascended into heaven except who? Himself. Now, we're going to have to take a look at what he meant by that. But first, let's try to get a little bit of an idea of what the third heaven is like. You know, the Apostle John wrote in the book of Revelation about a vision he received. He says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is that third heaven that Paul also saw a vision about. It's the place where God lives in this majesty and realm, this spirit realm. John says, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. You know, what's that mean? When you think about these precious stones, when light hits them, and the light shines off in different facets, he is looking at a shining being that he can only describe as light coming off of him the way that light comes off the facets of precious stones. He goes on and he says, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. These are 24 angelic beings. And from the throne proceeded, and I was trying to explain, John is trying to explain what he's witnessing with physical terms. He says he saw thunderings and lightnings and voices. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and around his throne were four living creatures, full of eyes, in front and in back. Wow. The third heaven, paradise, the throne of God. A spirit dimension so magnificent, so majestic, that it is beyond human comprehension. I can't imagine what John actually saw. So what does it mean that God is bringing this third heaven to earth? Well, before I explain, let me tell you about this important free study guide that we're offering here on today's program. This really is important. You need to know the truth about heaven coming to earth so that you can understand the future God has planned for you. Contact us today and order our free offer, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? And this gives an in-depth analysis on today's subject. This study aid will take you through what the Old and New Testaments teach about heaven and hell and explain why it is important for you to understand. To request your free study aid, call us toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv to read or download heaven and hell, what does the Bible really teach? And if you live outside of North America, be sure to write to us at the address shown on the screen throughout the program. Heaven on earth? That is exactly what the Bible teaches. Today we're exploring the biblical vision of the future God wants to give to you. It's a future filled with glory and purpose, meaning and happiness, and it involves heaven coming to earth. God's plan to bring His throne, the third heaven, to earth is in two stages. These stages are revealed in the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Revelation 19 describes Christ's second coming when He returns, not in the weakness of a human baby, but in power and glory. Listen to this. John says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He judges and makes war." Now this is Jesus Christ, and He's not coming back in a weak human form. He's coming back in all the glory of being the Son of God, the glory of God, and He is coming to bring God's kingdom to this earth. And it's one of the great ironies that the Prince of Peace, in order to bring happiness and peace, has to fight the very beings, His children. They're going to fight against Him because they don't want His way. You know, John says, His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. This is the description of the way Jesus Christ is right now. He had a name written that no one knew except Himself, and He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back to a rebellious humanity, but He's coming back to save humanity. And it is at this time when Jesus fulfills His promise to His followers that they will be raised up or resurrected. It is shocking to most people to find out that a person doesn't immediately go to heaven when he or she dies. Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul called death sleep. Those who die are unconscious. They're unaware of the passing of time. When a Christian dies, his or her next conscious moment is the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Remember, Jesus said that He would go away and return, and that His disciples would be with Him. So, Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, where will He be? Revelation 20 explains how Christ will set up His kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. Now, what will Jesus' followers be doing on earth for 1,000 years that they'll be with Him? I mean, playing harps, staring into the face of God? How about sitting on thrones? John wrote about those who are resurrected at Christ's return, and he says, "And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. To be a Christian today is to be with Christ in the future on earth, serving Him in saving humanity. Incredible, isn't it? Christ will establish a new one-world government and one-world religion, worshiping the one true God. That may not be a popular idea, but that's what the Scripture says He's going to do. He's going to change everything. He's going to heal the environment, erase poverty, create a new educational system, institute an economy that's fair for everyone, and offer salvation to a broken and decimated humanity. God is calling those who want to participate in this future. To receive that future, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, but more than that, also as your Lord and Master, and as your coming King. And that must happen in your life now, and you must be daily living by the values and teachings of His kingdom. You know, you've heard this message. What will keep you from this future? Your desire for money and status, your girlfriend, your anxieties. How about your unwillingness to repent and give your life totally to your Creator? I said at the beginning that heaven is coming to earth. Christ is going to rule on earth for 1,000 years. We've seen that. But you know, that doesn't mean that the third heaven is on earth yet. So when does this third heaven, the throne of God, come to earth? Well, let's look at the end of the book, the end of the book of Revelation. John was given this remarkable vision of the time after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. He said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." This is the throne of God. This is the third heaven. This is what John saw a vision of in the first part of the book of Revelation. John says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God is living with his children, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Heaven is coming to earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And this happens after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth and the time of judgment of all mankind. Now, this is according to Revelation 20. Read Revelation 19, 20, and 21, and you'll see this. At the end of Beyond Today, we invite you to join us in praying, "Thy kingdom come." But you know, for us, that isn't just a nice phrase to close out the program. Jesus included those words in the model prayer, very deliberately. Maybe you have often prayed this prayer yourself. If you want this future that we've been talking about, that God is offering to you, the kingdom of God, then there are three things that you have to begin to do right now. And this is just the beginning, but this is where you start. First, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must accept that you have been living a life filled with ideas, actions, and religious beliefs that are opposed to God's future. You have to accept the death of Jesus Christ as the substitute for what you deserve, what I deserve, before the holy law of God, which is the law of his kingdom. Secondly, you must accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master of your life right now. You know, there are lots of people who claim that they've accepted Jesus as Savior, but they still live by the values of Satan's kingdom. We are called to live by the values and laws of the kingdom of God. This means that this Bible must become the foundation of your decisions, of your behavior every day. Christianity isn't just about accepting Jesus as Savior. You must also live by his teachings. And three, you must accept Jesus Christ as your coming King. And this has to be more important than all your political ideas, all the ideas of whatever nation you live in. You know, people ask me, "What is my political affiliation?" You know the answer I give them? I tell them I'm a monarchist. You know, people are taken back by that. Well, what do they mean? Well, the truth is that all human political parties and governments will someday collapse. They will fail, and they will submit to Christ as King. We have to live our lives as monarchists, looking for that return, looking for and living for our King. Our lives are to be lived every day in anticipation and preparation for the coming of our King. Eternity in the family of God, an entire universe God wants to give to his children. God's future that he wants for you and for me is greater than anything that we can imagine. It is a future when heaven comes to earth. Our free Bible study aid, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach?, is available as an in-depth study into the details of Jesus' teaching. When you order this important publication, we'll also send you a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine, The Good News. The Good News is filled with valuable articles and subjects that will open your eyes to the stunning truths of the Bible. The good news will also assist you in discovering more about Jesus Christ and how you can build a deeper relationship with Him. To order the good news and our study aid, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or write to us at the address shown on your screen. Of course, you can read both publications online at beyondtoday.tv. And when you visit beyondtoday.tv, we invite you to join us throughout the week for our BT Daily online videos. These short videos cover many biblical topics in addition to breaking news and prophecy, all in the light, of course, of Scripture. I hope you will join us at beyondtoday.tv. We're joined by Darris McNeely and Steve Myers to discuss further the topic that we've been talking about here today, heaven on earth. And of course, anybody who really studies the Bible, the first thing you're going to bring up about this subject is, yes, but Jesus was on the cross. He turned to the thief that was beside him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How do we explain that?
Often scripture used to explain that people are going to heaven. It's very simple. Number one, and the most basic approach to that verse is that what Jesus was saying was, "I say to you today." It's a matter of punctuation. And that's really all that he was doing. "I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." But beyond that, what Christ was saying was a message of hope to this thief. There were two thieves there, both helpless and hopeless, condemned as criminals. And he was giving them encouragement that paradise would be something they would see. The same paradise that you've mentioned in your other scriptures here today. And he was giving, on the last minutes of these men's lives, them some hope that they could die remembering and thinking. And that paradise, as you explained, is yet to come. But it was a hope for those two men, nothing more.
And it's a hope for us now, too.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes it's confusing because we think, well, maybe they did go to heaven. But it's obvious they didn't do that because Christ himself wasn't in heaven that very day. So that didn't happen. It wasn't possible. Christ was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. We know that to be the facts. The interesting thing as well, then, is this idea of paradise. If you look at Revelation, it talks about the paradise being in the presence of God, with God, and he talks about the garden in Revelation. Well, that's a literal place, and Christ is coming to this earth where God's presence will be with us. Christ will be right here. And so it's pointing to that literal place of at the return of Christ.
Of course, I immediately think of the statement Jesus made after he was resurrected, "Don't cling to me because I have not yet ascended." So how could the thief be with him in heaven when he admits, "I haven't been to heaven"?
Yeah, Christ was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and then he was resurrected. And the gospel accounts clearly show then that he did ascend to the Father, was accepted. But that negates, again, the idea of his statement.
You know, we've been talking about this as a vision of the future, Christ's return instead of God's kingdom on this earth, and then, you know, God's throne actually coming to earth. That vision is important. How can we keep that vision in our minds? How do we keep that so that guides everything we do every day?
Well, I think it's realizing that is defining what is the purpose for our life, that this life that we have today is a preparation for that world to come, that age to come. Many other scriptures you didn't have time to get to today talk about tasting the powers of the age to come and the kingdom of God on this earth and paradise on this earth. And when you understand that, then you realize that God's purpose in calling us and bringing us to salvation is a preparing stage for a greater effort work that he will do through those that are a part of that kingdom. And it really then does help us understand what we have to do today and to have a focus, a purpose, and a mission in our lives.
Yeah, it seems that it gives us an anchor. You know, you look at the news, you look at what's going on in our world today, it's a mess. You know, where is there really hope? Read your Bible. Look at what God is planning to do. Mankind has tried every single way possible, it seems, and cannot come with a solution on how to live. Well, Christ is coming back. He's going to have a real life-giving way that will bring true peace and true happiness. It will be a wonderful, wonderful world. And so Christ is coming here. We can anchor our life in the fact that he will return. And so we should start living that way right now.
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier about anticipation and preparation. I know there's times in my life when I get down and I think, well, what's, you know, living God's way is hard and you see the world, but then I anticipate Christ coming back and the chance to help him save the world, to make sure that no baby ever starves again, that no one dies in war again, and to change the world. Okay. How has this knowledge affect you emotionally in your life?
It's helped me be a better person today, realizing that that is the purpose for my life. It's helped me to take the teachings of the kingdom of God, the principles, the values that the Gospels especially outline, and live them today in my life. I can't change that world today, but I can change my world and change my life. I can impact people that I come in contact with, and I can make a difference in my sphere of influence. I'm not going to change the world. God is going to do that when he returns. But I can live by the teachings of the kingdom of God today, and that does make a difference, and that's what keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to have peace of mind today, but when you understand what God's plan is, boy, it can bring a whole settled view of what life is all about, that this isn't what it's all about, but Christ is coming, and boy, that'll settle the matter, and we can look forward to that very fact, that Christ will establish his kingdom, and we can be a part of that.
And he's changing the world one person at a time. So let it begin with us. Let it begin with you. Now, there are many facets to the concept of heaven. It doesn't have to be confusing. That's why you should order your free copy of Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? And your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Please call right now, toll free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or you can read both online at beyondtoday.tv. And the United Church of God has hundreds of Saturday Sabbath-keeping congregations across the United States and around the world, with caring pastors who can help you grow in faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Go to beyondtoday.tv, click on the Contact tab to find a congregation near you, and call one of our pastors and share your story with them. Find out more about how the commonly held belief in going directly to heaven when you die is not based on the Bible. God has a future he wants to give you. It may be a bit shocking to find out that the Bible doesn't teach that we go to heaven immediately upon death, but what it does teach is astounding. Heaven on earth? Yes. God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth and bring his throne to earth. He created humanity, you and me, to be his children and his family forever. Join us next week on Beyond Today as we continue to discover the gospel of the kingdom. We also invite you to join us even stronger in praying, Thy Kingdom Come. For Beyond Today, I'm Gary Petty. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.